was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. We were just talking about how my A's are already sort of, my prediction for the A's season is in shambles already, because they beat the Rays today. They beat the Rays the other day. If the A's are beating the Rays, I don't know who any of the players are in the team. Maybe a third of them, if I'm being honest. It never matters.
Told you, they're the annoying team. They're like the Rays. They're going to find ways to win with these scrubs.
Yep.
And be competitive.
These drastically underpaid scrubs that when they eventually want to get paid, they are no longer A's. I don't know. NBA playoffs happening right now. You guys check any of it out so far?
I like the new system of the play-ins yeah. The NBA. I like the play-ins.
I kind of do too, if I'm being honest. I mean, it gives like teams that probably shouldn't have a chance, but
well, they have no chance.
More playoff games. Hey, yeah,
that's what it is. It's 7-8 seeds have no chance really.
It's literally just to keep 4, 5, 6, you know, on the good end teams from tanking. That's all it is.
Well, yeah. I agree, but then also you have teams like the Nets, you know, who have Kyrie and Durant. And if you have Kyrie and Durant, you have a chance. I mean, they could catch a heater. They could beat anybody.
I would hope a team with KD and Kyrie could win a couple series.
They're getting swept by the C's.
They are not getting swept.
They're getting swept.
They're not.
Yeah.
You really think the Celtics are going to sweep somebody? That's what you're saying?
Celtics are tough. Tough squad.
The Nets could beat anyone, but they're not beating everyone.
Yes,
They are one round, maybe two.
Jesus. Are you assuming Simmons is going to be playing in this then?
I'm saying if they beat the Celtics, they're not getting out of the second round.
Oh, all right.
My dude.
I'm not counting beating the Cavs around.
Like, Ski, right. they have the best player in the NBA. Like, they have Kevin Durant.
They don't play defense.
That's fine. Not many teams do.
No, not like them.
Deep in the playoffs, though, not playing defense is going to hurt you at some point.
If they catch a heater and have to play the Bucks, Giannis is going to score 45 a lot.
I mean, they're going to have trouble with the Celtics team with Tatum and Brown and Horford. I mean, the Celtics are a better team. They might get a game just because. Sometimes you can't do anything about KD and Kyrie going off. They're just going to go off for 40 each. Can't do anything about it. But even with those games, that'll be a close game still. If they each have 40, it'll still be a close game. If they don't each have 40, they're losing. That's how the Nets are right now.
Man, it 100% depends on Kyrie, doesn't it? Like, because it's KD and Kyrie and a pretty big drop-off, obviously. And so if Kyrie does...
Who's their third best player?
I was going to say, like, if Kyrie takes... Like, if he has one of those games or a couple of games where he just decides to do his Kyrie shit and chuck shots that have no business going in, they don't go in, and, you know, then the Nets are screwed.
But he has to chuck.
Simmons is their third best player, and he's on the bench. So, you asked.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Curry, I guess. That's their next best player. That's it.
Bruce Brown was pretty good yesterday.
Brown is a good player if they had an actual team. But no. Unless Simmons magically comes back 100% healthy, they can't, like you said, they can't play defense.
Yes, that is why they will lose.
It'll bite them in the ass, yeah.
It's not even that they like can't guard the perimeter. It's that it's in the paint. Everyone destroys them. And you can be a nerd and look at analytics, or you could just use your eyes. Man, they're just a really bad interior defending team.
Well, I think Andre Drummond is about the same level as Cantor is on defense. We saw a lot of Cantor's defense in Portland. They're, you know, equivalent players to each other.
I was going to say, we are Blazer fans. We know a thing or two about weak interior defense.
The funny thing is do you want the Nets to lose in the first round, or do you want that heel to win a round or two?
I absolutely want them to keep winning. Yep.
They're a good watch. Yeah. They're heels. They're trolls and anti-vaxxers. And
And they got Jay-Z on the sideline. Like,
I love how Jay-Z rolls up to a Nets game last night wearing LA Dodgers gear. Boy, that Brooklyn love is pretty strong.
Are we allowed to comment on Jay-Z's hair?
No.
No? Okay.
No. No. We're not touching that. I won't do it then.
Also, I refuse to touch his hair. But anyways.
Yeah, we're not going.
We're not doing that.
Can we talk about Kevin Durant's hair still? Is that allowed still?
Does he have some?
There's some. A little bit.
I take offense to that.
You have more hair than KD.
I take offense to talking about LeBron's hair too. No. I'll stop this recording right now.
No.
All right. Fine. Can we talk about his scalp at least? Is that a little easier?
Because that's all we're seeing.
Yeah, we won't talk about his hair. We'll talk about his scalp.
I'll turn this podcast around, Ski. You watch yourself. Oh, man.
No, but I do agree with King. You want the Nets in. They are the heels right now of the playoffs. And especially if they continue on, you'll have even more. The pundits will love it because then you can talk about Ben Simmons coming back more and more. And that's exactly one. Especially if they ever have to play, go to Toronto, because then I don't think Kyrie can play still. I think Canada has.
Correct. Yeah.
So it'd be even better.
Be so good.
That's why money should be on the Raptors to beat the Sixers.
100%. 100%.
Oh, I want that to happen so bad. Oh,
but I love the conspiracy theory that the Celtics kind of dogged the last week of the season to not play the Raptors because Brown and Horford are maybe not vaccinated, and they chose the Nets.
Don't want to find out. That'd be wonderful. All right, other stay in the NBA, like the Lakers fired Vogel. I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. Just other than to say that it's ridiculous because, you know, them being bad is hardly his fault.
Phil Jackson weren't making the playoffs with him as the coach this year.
Yeah, like Vogel has won an NBA title. He's a good coach.
He wasn't the problem.
No.
I did love... It wasn't, I don't know sure if it was part of the Vogel firing, but, you know, once they're eliminated, the debate of Westbrook, you know, Laker fan debate, because there's a big contingent of very pro Westbrook Laker fans.
Yeah.
And they have like dueling, like 5 minute long videos of whatever way they lean. It's fucking entertaining.
Lakers fan infighting is wonderful to see. You love to see it. You just do. I don't really care other than to say it's dumb. But watching the Lakers, you know, destroy themselves is I like it. I like to see it. So, you know, it's cool. Keep being bad. Keep making bad decisions. Like, Vogel should not be fired. The people who, you know, got a broken AD. And, you know, brought in Westbrook thinking he wasn't going to be like the outsider, you know, destroying their locker room. Like, you know, whoever makes that decision should probably be fired. But
you're going to fire LeBron?
Exactly. You're not going to fire LeBron. You're not going to fire Jeannie Buss. Like, Jeannie Buss isn't going anywhere. Like, Pelinka, maybe?
LeBron is part of the problem, not in how he plays on the court. It's his contract just kills that team. I mean, losing guys, Caruso is not like a great, you know, an all-star player, but losing a guy like a Caruso on that team because they didn't have the money to pay him.
He was big in the bubble.
That team.
He was big for them in the bubble.
In the bubble, yeah. And look at their team now. They can't play defense either. When we're talking about the Nets, they don't play defense.
Yeah, I think the stat was that the Lakers were bad last year, which was understandable because they the off season was 47 days from the bubble to training camp. Every team that made a late run was bad last year, pretty much, right?
Yep.
Lakers were bad. Celtics were bad. Heat were bad. I guess the Nuggets won a round against the Blazers, but then they were bounced. But whatever. But boy, this year was was something.
It's fun to watch. You love to see it.
It was an interesting. Yeah, it was.
Have you guys seen a year where you've had so many teams with the last like 2 or 3 weeks of the season where you're seeing players you have no idea who the fuck they are? I haven't seen this many teams kind of just throw in the towel in a season before than this. I mean, Malik Monk for the last 2+ weeks was the Lakers' best player.
Him and Kendrick Nunn were supposed to be like their secret weapons.
Yeah.
And I don't think Kendrick Nunn played a game for the Lakers since Thanksgiving.
I know what you mean though, Ski. Like, and it helps that we're like Blazers fans and we watch the Blazers with a whole bunch of players we've never seen before. So yeah, I agree. From what I've seen, like the teams who are tanking are legitimately tanking, and there's no argument.
Yeah, there was a lot of them too. I mean, some of them are just bad, you know, like Detroit. I mean, they're just young. They're just not a good enough team. Orlando is awful.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, awful. I don't know if there were guys that, you know, kind of like Lillard, where they, if they were making a run, they would have come back and played. But otherwise, it was like, there's no reason to come back now. It seemed like there was a lot of teams that had those players.
I love the like last day of the season, the Blazers social media posted like video and pictures of Lillard working out, doing like full workouts. It's like, oh, by the way, he is totally healthy and ready for next season already. So get pumped for next season, guys. Dame's coming back. And he probably could have played the last month.
Oh, he totally
interesting, though.
Of course he could have, but
yeah.
Well, what do you say about Zion? Zion's posting videos of him doing 360 between the leg dunks, and he's not out here playing. And they're in the play-in game here.
Is he going to be one of those weird things where he's always not playing, but he never is actually like he's never actually hurt? Like,
he did break his foot. And then
remember,
I think,
like, did that happen with like Fultz for a while too? Like Markel Fultz, he like they said he was injured, but he wasn't actually injured. He was just
he had the yips.
He couldn't shoot anymore. Yeah, but it's like you can still be out there and be athletic and pass and you know
not just, the NBA.
Not Fultz. The NBA, you can't. No, he couldn't even. Yeah, his brain was
broken. Brain.
Broken brain.
Yeah. He's a point guard. If you have a point guard where you don't respect them.
You can't shoot.
Taking a shot at the hoop. Yeah. You're playing 4-on-5 that way.
You give him 10 feet. Yeah, I guess you're right. Fair enough. But you're right, though. Like Zion. And if Zion's a big guy with a foot injury, you know, it is what it is. But
You go the same thing with Simmons. I mean, how actually healthy is Simmons? I don't know.
I mean, reports out of the Nets camp is that he's playing like Michael Jordan right now.
Just you know
how long?
Not,
but I was gonna say how long has he been doing this? Games is a thing, is what I'm saying.
We don't get context with those quotes.
No,
sir.
It's weird. No,
it's weird.
You get a 30-second video of him hitting 4 straight 3s in a row, and that's all you get.
Raining threes. All right, let's talk Ducks real quick. They got a 5-star lineman. We had requested to do an emergency podcast about it.
Who's
over recruiting?
I like you, but you're silly.
Marijuana is legal in Oregon.
Oh man, no more than that, buddy. She's out here shrooming. Oh boy. No, we're never going to do that for that, as I told him. But Oregon,
unless he wants to sponsor us.
Yeah. Oh, my guy. My guy. We'll add a day. You want us to add a day? We can do that. Oh, do a live fat kid deals ad. All right, so
was
five
this, star, yeah,
we're gonna do one.
Did this kid come out of nowhere? Because I didn't remember really seeing anything until the day of him saying where he's going. I didn't know he was still undecided.
Real quick, five star Josh Connerly, offensive tackle, 6'5", 283 from Seattle. He is, to your point, he just signed his letter of intent. He is part of this year's class. So he is going to be here for the fall, which five-star offensive lineman, number one tackle in the country. Like, why was he not signed yet? Why was seemingly nobody talking about him and Oregon up until he actually committed on TV? I'm like you, man. I see it like flash across Twitter. I'm like, who the hell is this? Okay, so, you know, five-star tackle, dope. Good for Lanning. So next year. And so, you know, I'm not going to get excited because what? I got to wait 9 months until he actually signs his letter of intent. Like, who the fuck cares? Who the fuck cares? And then and then I find out it's for this year and he signs his letter of intent. And I'm like, what? How is this a thing?
Well, I think I can answer twofold.
Did he have bad grades or something?
Why did Josh Connerly wait this long? The
get paid, boy.
The money, war,
boy.
And why did Oregon fans not really think about him? Because it was between Oregon
and USC.
USC,
and
right?
Sort of Miami. And Mario has been beating Dan Lanning with recruits like a drum, which is fair because he had inroads with them much longer than Dan Lanning did when he came to Oregon, right?
Especially offensive line.
Absolutely.
It.
And then USC, because, oh, they're the Lincoln Riley. He's sexy, and he's getting all these. He got Travis Dye and Caleb Williams. And
he's still – Connerly is still 100% crystal ball to USC on 24/7 Sports.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. So that's why we didn't really hear about him, because everyone was like, eh.
He's going to USC.
Maybe Miami is the sneaky hat pick. But he's going to USC.
Usually I pick up, and if the Ducks are, you know, in the top three like that, you know, at least they're in the picture. I usually kind of curious. This kid came out of nowhere for me, really.
Well, because I think part of it is because, and none of us are the biggest recruiting.
Yeah, no. part of it is because I think it's ridiculous to talk about recruiting other than signing day.
But also part of it is because since Lanning has been here, there's been like two or three kind of like big names where they just lost out on because Tennessee gave a guy $8 million. So no one expected Oregon to win.
And frankly, they were jumping in on kids late because Lanning just got hired. So it is what it is. Yeah.
Right. So, but fuck yeah.
Number one offensive lineman recruit in the school's history. Number eight overall recruit in the school's history. Best player in Washington, number two, actually technically the number two tackle in the country for this class, according to 24/7.
Who is this? Is this a bigger blow to the Huskies or the Trojans losing this kid?
Oh, well, the Huskies.
Letting the kid leave Seattle or Lincoln Riley missing out. Which sounds like this was a Tosh deal getting done possibly here.
It's very possible.
I mean, the...
That's why you bring Tosh to Oregon, baby.
That's why you bring him. Yes.
Oh, faking injuries, getting a bag, man. Let's go.
It just reeks of Tosh.
My favorite part about him committing was what did he commit on? What?
His TV.
No, what day?
Oh, I don't know. I want to say it was like Friday or Saturday or something.
Yeah, okay. So like Thursday or whatever. There was that whole like,
and he cussed on TV too. That was fun.
That Kenny Dillingham quote being like, Of all the college towns, obviously not talking about LA. He was like out west, like Eugene, Oregon, you know, the Ducks. That's the one college town that can actually win a national title because they're committed, right? And everyone gave him shit. You're Kenny Dillingham. You're 31 years old.
Yeah,
your offense sucked.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Got it.
You didn't even call plays.
And so then he gets the job. Or then Connerly commits. And John Wilner is like, ugh.
Saw that.
Yeah. Justin Wilcox made the right move. Ugh. That, yeah, he did.
Wait.
Justin Wilcox absolutely made the right move sticking a cow. You are so right, John Wilner, because Justin Wilcox is not getting in this game. And if you're not getting in this game, you're not winning. Like, no. Thank you, Mr. Sanctimony. I don't know why he wants us to be mad that Justin Wilcox is not the Oregon football coach.
Like, literally, nobody outside of Joey Harrington wanted him to be Oregon's coach. So, like, how is that a thing? I don't get it.
I mean, there are a few more, in fairness. It was an older crowd, but
to be fair.
But I just love that he's trying to turn Justin Wilcox in Oregon into Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma. When we don't want him. And then he posted that thing about, I think it was Nate Costa, was saying that Justin Wilcox is the best coach in the Pac-12 and how they beat Oregon in the COVID year and they never should have because they were out-schemed and out-coached. And it's like, dude, your agenda, it's over. Like, he's never going to be the Oregon coach. No one is crying. Just leave it alone. Like, there's no tears there. Like, if you're an LA or Norman guy or a national guy and you want to do the Lincoln Riley stuff, I get it. The clicks will be there. There's going to be engagement. Hot links. Let's go. Justin Wilcox, we don't – like, it's a Stephen A. Smith gif.
Yeah, even the Wilcox people stopped talking about Wilcox once Lanning got hired. Honestly, it's one of the things that Lanning addressed when he first got hired is he reached out to like the prominent people who were beating the Justin Wilcox drum and beating the tradition drum. He reached out to them, gave them an olive branch, won them over, and everybody was on his side. And so since that happened, nobody gives a fuck about Wilcox other than John Wilner.
Why is Wilcox a big deal anyway? I know he's local, but usually
that's it, dude.
A guy goes elsewhere and does good, big things, and then you want him to come home. What's his best year at Cal? 8-5?
No, I mean, he has a losing record at Cal.
But
I never wanted him. I don't want him. I never want him in the future. He does do well with the talent pool allowed at Cal. But that's not even whatever. Like, that does not mean he could move into a job like Oregon, where last year they went 10-2 in the regular season, won the North. Okay, just end it there, right? 10-2, won the North. 3 days before Thanksgiving, they were number 3 in the nation. And you want to know what this year? Disappointment. Totally was. And we don't have like national title or bust, but it was disappointment. They got their asses kicked by Utah twice in the last month. That is a whole different world than Josh Wilcox teaching technique really, really well in Strawberry Canyon. It just is. And I know like national guys don't want to hear that because I think Justin Wilcox is a good coach, but he's not a fit. He's not a personality fit. He's not a culture fit. He went to Oregon. That does not matter. Brandon McLemore went to Oregon. No one wants Brandon McLemore to be a coach.
You know what he's a culture fit for is the guy he played for. Like people have a fondness for Mike Bellotti here and Mike Bellotti's years of doing exactly what Wilcox is doing at Cal, which is recruiting 3-star guys, occasionally 4-star guys. Maybe you sprinkle in something better. Cal doesn't do that, but, and then you coach them up and you get the most out of them. And the best you're going to get is 9 wins. That's it. But if you get 9 wins, and I think Bellotti got to 10, like if you get to 10 wins,
Bellotti got to like 11.
I'm saying that that's an incredible season. Like, that's an incredible season, and you live for that. But that's your peak. You're not doing anything more than that. And so that's why that guy will not work here, is because that's not what Oregon wants. Oregon wants five-star kids. Oregon wants to be competing with USC. Oregon, like, for recruits. Oregon wants to go after the playoff. Like, Justin Wilcox is never going to do that. Even if he has money, even if he has the resources that Oregon has, it's not going to happen because that's not his style. His style is the guy he played for. Same thing. By the way, his assistant coaches are the same guys he played for. Think about that shit.
Coaches
are the Blotty head or assistants. Like,
in fairness,
you were saying, King, your whole reason of not wanting Wilcox was not wanting those coaches that he has, mostly, right?
Yeah.
But if it was Wilcox, just Wilcox coming, would you have been fine with that?
That's why he didn't come here, right?
Yes, that's that backstory on the whole, they offered him a contract and he turned it down, LOL, Oregon. I bet you they did offer him a contract and they said, you're not bringing that staff and you have to recruit. Oh, you don't want to do that? Okay. Enjoy a great life in the
East Bay. For real. Living in a
fantastic, stress-free life.
Absolute paradise job.
Yep. Yes. Good for you. But I know I've said this before, but like Petros Papadakis said, Oregon is lost. They're big game hunting. They're in the filth now, blah, 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 blah. He's reiterated that a few times since they hired Lanning. Yeah, maybe. But you want to know what? You're not winning big if you're not.
It's better than middling.
Yep. And at the West Coast just needs to figure that out. And maybe with the Lincoln Riley hire kind of boosts that a little bit.
Riley is a big push for that, though, it seems like. At least the DeBoer hire is kind of the opposite of that hire. See, that was a bad hire by UW on that. See,
I won't even say it's a bad hire, but there is a definitive ceiling on that hire.
Yeah.
He's never winning a playoff. Well, okay. Helfrich won a playoff game, so maybe. But generational quarterback, Heisman winner. You know what I mean? It was a chip team. I get it. But there is a definitive ceiling on developer as opposed to recruiter. We have no – Lanning could be awful. We don't know. But his ceiling is way higher than everyone – his ceiling is higher than everyone other than Lincoln Riley's in the Pac-12. 100%. Easy. There's just no debate. And if you don't – if you'd rather take the higher floor, that's fine. Like, that is a safe prerogative and a safe space. That's a bad way to put it. But that's a decent place to live. 8, 9, 10 wins. Okay. All right. But college football is about the ceiling now. It ain't about the floor. The floor is done. Like, the floor, Jim Harbaugh was until this year when he broke through, he was killed for the floor. And he made a couple of New Year's Six games. He beat Florida State in one of them, beat the Gators. Like, but that just doesn't, even Oregon, like Mario won a Rose Bowl and went to 3 straight Pac-12 championship games. Even there, people were like, Oregon, it's a dumb game. I think I think college football is losing its – I'll never stop watching it, but I don't think I'm watching with the same fervor as I used to, if that makes sense.
Same.
I get it.
I feel that way.
Like I'm saying, with – To compete, there's only a handful of teams to win the national championship now, right? So if you're a team that can't compete with those coaches being able to get these recruits, essentially now buying recruits, is there any point to do it at all, I guess? Kind of, because that's how Wilcox is now. It either got to jump in fully or just don't even bother doing it, right? Because you can't kind of half-ass commit to the new level of recruiting because you're not going to get enough guys that way.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're okay with staying where you're at, then do it. Like, it again, like, the thing about Wilcox in a job like Cal is nobody at Cal is pushing him to do better than that. Like he can keep doing what he's doing.
And that's Cal, fine. They have perspective. They're great. They know
what they are.
And I don't even mean that like derisively. They just know that they're just not in that game. They haven't made a Rose Bowl in like 70 years.
Yeah. Like their thing is they're hopefully going to pick off a really good team every once in a while.
Yeah.
And they've had elite players, you know, Deshaun and Goff together. Look at the running backs. Aaron Rodgers,
Marshawn Lynch.
It is weird to see that.
Are they good?
Clearly, at some time they were able to recruit these guys.
Well, weren't both of them JC guys? Like Lynch was a JC guy too, right?
Rodgers doesn't even claim Cal.
Yeah, Rodgers went to Butte College or whatever. He was only at Cal for 1 year, right? It was like his junior year.
I think he was there for two.
I don't even know. That's just what I thought. All right. By the way, before we move on from the Ducks, I feel like we glossed over it or we just didn't talk about it. Like Chase Kota transferring here. Like, you know, he didn't do anything at UCLA. It is what it is. Like, I don't know why. Could be playing with the quarterback he was playing with, the system he was playing in, Chip Kelly. Like, it is what it is if you're a receiver. But, like, I remember him here. Like, or not here, but, you know, in high school. I remember he played for South Medford. He was the best player on the field every game he played, and that included playing against Sheldon. Like, he was elite, unstoppable 4-star wide receiver coming out of high school. So again, you know, he plays 4 years at UCLA, doesn't do anything at all. You know, it is what it is. 6'4", 200 pounds, somewhat fast. If he's a vet in the locker room, willing to block, you know, see the field. Like he did media sessions today. Like he's an elder guy on the team in that wide receiver group. And in a wide receiver group where you don't know who you're going to have, like Williams and Johnny Johnson are gone. Like he legitimately could just step right in and be a starter right away. I don't know if that means he's going to be good. It's going to depend on the quarterback, like Dillingham, whatever. But I think like he might be more valuable than we're giving him credit for.
I mean,
he's going to play.
If you're thinking he's going to jump in and kind of be like Jeff Mayle, kind of that sure-handed guy.
Why are you comparing him to Jeff Mayle, Ski?
Because they're crackers.
Are they gym rats? They have big hands. They always stay late after practice.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. You like their motor?
Oh yeah, they got that motor goes, you know, 100 miles an hour all the time.
Always working.
Speaking of glossing over, have we just completely glossed over Doug Brenner's $120 million lawsuit?
I have it here to discuss.
Which he will not win, but good for him for shooting for the stars.
Doug Brenner suing the University of Oregon, suing the NCAA.
You don't think he wins anything?
No, he'll win. He'll win.
They'll do a civil. It's a civil.
They'll settle, or at least.
He'll win something. But adding on $100 million.
Yeah, you got to love that number. You got
to
love
the NCAA. Okay. Yeah.
Also named in the suit, Willie Taggart and Irile Odorinde, the strength coach for a good 6 months at Oregon,
who was not qualified to be
did not have certifications, broke many, many NCAA guidelines in how he enforced workouts. Willie Taggart
was suspended for a time as well, I believe.
He was.
Did you happen to see who, I guess, was taking the stand for him?
For Odorinde?
No, for
Taggart. Taggart said he's going to take the stand.
Taggart's in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, do you see who else was in town to take the stand for, I assume, for Brenner, because he was a player, was Marcus.
Oh, I like that.
I don't quite get.
Back to center. He was a center. He was a
always
center
back
like
your
one,
center, right?
He was a center for like one game. Remember?
Yeah, I was gonna say cause the Mariota That's center the worst was very famously Hironas Grasso.
Yes, it was. Hironas
did you guys Grasso. Listen? Did you guys listen to any of the trial today?
I did not.
No.
It was very interesting hearing the I guess Taggart and Orinde or whatever
lawyers
or Alinde whatever they were like, yeah, dude, you were a fine college player, but your assertion that this cost you NFL bucks is just
pick a better number,
real.
Dude. Pick a better number. You'd have a shot.
Hey, if when you start high, you can only come down to where you think it should be, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, and I listened to a little blurb today from some like, you know, NYU or Columbia sports law professor. And they were like, yeah, he added the NCAA last month because everyone hates the NCAA.
Right.
Is he going to get $100 million? No. Is he going to get something? Probably, but
yes. Well, there's enough evidence to show that his health was affected by it, and that there were rules that were broken. That Oregon not only knew the rules were broken, but they had like the early morning workouts. They were making him do workouts they weren't supposed to do, and then they weren't giving them water during it.
Water.
And so the next
day.
That
was just the first day. That was the first day.
But then the next day, they responded by not changing the workouts at all and bringing oxygen tanks.
And puke buckets.
Buckets. Oh, my God. Like, dude.
Are you guys surprised this wasn't a class action, you know, four or five players? Because sounded like from the article saying there was about four or five guys went unconscious there. And
there were. Absolutely. Listen, one of them is still on the team. Cam McCormick got rhabdo. He's still on the team.
God, that's right.
Yeah.
How's that a thing?
He's just God. Guys God bless him. God bless him. His body just has failed him on every level.
I saw on Twitter the other day. His mom was in town, like checking in on him or something like that. It's like, man, she's been through a ride, hasn't she? Like her son's not supposed to be in college this long playing football. Where he's getting hurt all
coming
the time. It's crazy.
Coming into Eugene for a surgery every like 6 months.
I know,
like.
Man.
No, I will say that I get the feeling that Duck Twitter might get pretty ugly about this whole trial once it really starts picking up. I don't know who.
I might disagree because I think people hate Taggart enough that.
Yes, they hate Taggart, but also it's a guy suing the university. So there's going to be the homers are going to be really like.
Oregon Twitter's toxic? Is that what you're saying?
That's it can weird. Be. That's it weird. Can be.
Huh.
I didn't see. Is it broken down into how much he's suing each for?
I think it's $100 million NCAA, $20 million Oregon.
And that's I thought he was suing Taggart personally as well. And
well, I think the $20 million is kind of split up between
just chopped
but
up.
But Taggart is like protected by the
university, I guess.
Institution.
Yeah.
That's got to be in a contract somewhere.
Just how funny is it that Taggart came back to Eugene to be on trial?
Fitting.
And it started raining and snowing as soon as he
yes.
came
yeah.
in.
Don't even
fuck
get me started.
Fuck you, Florida.
Don't even get me started on the weather. Fuck Oregon. God, I hate this state. God, I want this state to just go away. The weather is atrocious. It snowed three straight days in middle of April. So I know you guys, I'm not getting off this weather thing. I know you guys are both merchants of darkness, right? Like you guys see that Katy Perry California Girls music video and you're upset. You're furious. There's sun and people having fun outside.
You know, speaking of dark, I was just going to like interrupt you and say, you know, the cool thing about this weather is we're not going to have to worry about it for much longer because the entire West Coast is about to be like under the ocean. Thanks to the climate crisis that we're currently going through.
Please,
so, you know,
please climate.
So you're not going to have to worry about Oregon's not going to be here. You're not going to be here anymore. Pretty soon.
We got a while because we have the coastal range.
You're either going to be underwater or have moved somewhere else. Go live in tornado country and bitch do a tornado, King. Ain't nobody trying to hear it.
It has. You guys enjoyed this week's weather.
Go complain at a hurricane in Florida, King. bitching about some snow in April. Shut up.
It's snowing. It's 39 degrees.
I know.
Shit is awful.
Well, at least it didn't fuck up the roads. Like, that's honestly that would be the only thing that would piss me off is if it was fucking icy and I couldn't like drive my kid to school quickly. That'd be the only thing that would really piss me off.
I sat through a doubleheader yesterday.
That's right. That's why you're so mad. It's because you had to be outside because kids play sports. There you go.
Yes, I go outside.
I don't recommend it.
Yes, my theory is that Oregonians who like the weather here never go outside.
I usually like this time of year because you'll get that little sprinkle, but then it'll go back to being sunny and, you know, mid-60s. This has been, you know, a winter hellscape the last 2 or 3 days.
This is not the
spring I sign up. I like rain personally. I do like rain, but I like our spring rain. Keep things green, but give us that sunshine and some quasi warm days in there with it.
You guys not act this. Like it's not going to be like 110 degrees in August. Like that's how it's
so far
works.
Away.
So far away.
Well, I was supposed to think that far ahead. Get out of here.
I was sitting there at the Bob Kiefer Sports place.
Yesterday was such a downpour too, man. That was crazy.
The view from the field was Mount Baldy. And I could literally see between the clouds passing every 20 minutes, more snow accumulating on that fucker.
Yep.
And I was just sitting like, wow, well, just another hour and a half here watching flag football.
This is about to suck. This is about to really suck. By the way, flag football, your kid's playing on the Chiefs?
Yeah.
How about that?
Dimes. Yeah, threw a touchdown pass.
He's playing quarterback for the Chiefs? Pat Mahomes over here?
I know.
Let's go.
Had bad throwing form? Very Mahomes-y.
Yeah.
Throwing off one foot on the run?
Does he choke in the playoffs too? How does that work?
Okay. 21-10.
How did he play in the second half? Like first Wasp. Half is probably Wasp. Fine, but
yeah, probably ran Wasp down 21-10.
Oh man, that's great. That's great. By the way, I did notice one of his teammates was wearing a 49ers hat, and
his buddy. That is his good buddy.
My favorite player on the team.
And I will say, he came over here not to sidetrack it.
Sure.
He came over here on a AFC and NFC championship weekend. It was over here. I was like, oh yeah, your boy Jimmy G, let's go. And it didn't turn out well for either.
It didn't go great.
No.
Anybody in that house. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Oh, fun. Let's keep talking about that.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's transition to baseball. Let's spend the last little bit here talking about baseball. We'll get to our list, which is baseball related. I'm curious what you guys think because the early season of MLB has been on some dumbass early season MLB bullshit. Like that I fucking can't stand. And it seems to happen every year, but we have stupid stuff like what is happening right now. So like, you know, the Padres and the Giants with the unwritten rule crap. You have Kershaw pitching a perfect game through seven, getting pulled because you don't want to like overdo it earlier in the season. Like
this is a different early season. This is a different early season because they lost weeks to where these pitchers, I'm just speaking purely from the Kershaw standpoint, they lost weeks to where these pitchers should be up to about 100 pitches.
I realize
right now, usually.
And I realize not only that, but it's Kershaw. And so Kershaw doesn't have that kind of arm anyways, like to begin with. But he was at 80 pitches. He'd struck out 13 guys. Like, He's pitching a perfect game. How many times, even if you're Clayton Kershaw, how many times are you going to be perfect through seven in your whole fucking career? Like, let him keep pitching. What are you afraid of? Even if he gets hurt, it's the fucking first month of the season. Like, he'll be back in a couple of months. Whatever.
In fairness to that,
I hate it so much. It's so weak.
He did say, like, before all of this, like in spring training, that he was advised to get Tommy John in the offseason.
Yeah.
Kershaw.
Yes.
Okay. So throw a perfect game, get Tommy John. Don't
pitch. I mean, he's going on the DL at some point this year anyway.
Yes.
He may as well do it after throwing what, the 17th perfect game in Major League Baseball history?
I thought it was like 22 or 23.
Is it?
Perfect
game? I thought it's been 20. Is it in the teens still?
No. I don't know.
I witnessed this through Chris Sale was in the same position. They're saying, you should probably get Tommy John. And he's like, you know what? I'll just work through it. And he didn't pitch for 2 years.
You're right.
Yeah. Instead of getting Tommy.
23,
yeah. So, yeah, he should have got Tommy John. So I could see why Kershaw's a little hesitant. But he was on pace for one of the elite pitching performances ever.
Exactly.
At this point.
Yeah. If
he would have got another three strikeouts, a 16 strikeout potential perfect game. I mean,
one of the best pitching performances in the history of the sport.
Yes.
And he gets pulled after seven. Like, fucking analytics. Am I right? He's fucking blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean,
it is a little different because you do I'm see not that some
guy.
Of those.
I'm not that guy, but it's like, fuck, it's no. so stupid, man. It's so short-sighted. Like, I hate it so much.
See, 80 pitches is different, though, compared to a lot of guys in that situation, you know, farther into the season. They might be at, you know, 120 pitches.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, all right, you got to stay in for the perfect game. But when you start extending yourself into 120, 130, 130 pitches, that's when shit turns bad for your arm.
You know, leave him in
that situation.
Like, leave him in. If he gives up a hit, then you pull him. Or if he looks like he's starting to labor, like, you pull him. But leave him in. See how far he can go.
No, I did see something that this is kind of Dave Roberts's like MO.
Yeah.
Where since he's been a Dodger, he's pulled, I can't remember the first guy's name. It has been three guys that were pitching perfect games or no hitters through seven. And he pulled, I can't remember this guy. It was some rookie. Can't remember. Rich Hill, who was throwing a perfect game, and like Walker Buehler, who was pitching a no hitter in the eighth.
By the way,
that's what he does. So
why are you
what
pulling
he does?
Rich Hill? Like, Rich Hill's the softest pitcher in the history. Right. Why are you? What is he going to fucking throw his arm out? No.
Do you want to see what that?
He's 40 already. So what?
Yeah.
Here's the headline though: decision to pull Rich Hill during perfect games should pay dividends in October.
Fucking nerds, dude.
Chill. Dividends October.
The only small thing I will give to Roberts is I believe at the time it was a 3-0 game. If that game was
it's an unwritten rule. It has to be.
Yeah,
if you can't game, pitch a
No. But the game ended 7-0. If they were up 7-0, I think you send Kershaw out there and have him throw like some of these position players have been already to start the season. Just lollipop him in there, and if you get lucky and you get the 6 extra outs. Hey, if not, you give the hit, then you come right out. But you got to at least go out there and throw some BP fastballs that aren't going to hurt your arm in there to give it a shot at least.
Hurt his arm. Like, this is what he does. This is what he does for a living. This is what all he does is throw baseballs every day.
Imagine being the guy being like, I just want to hurt his arm.
Like, what? I can't stand it. I really hate it so much. So much. And then, so then we'll talk about the unwritten rules thing between the Padres and the Giants. Like this is for one, like, just to preface all of this, I hate unwritten rules in baseball. Like, I hate the concept of it.
What a dork. You like written rules? Woo!
Yeah, right?
Woo! That's the sound of the police.
I'm much more of a written rule guy. Can we document all of these?
Yeah, what a cop over here.
Yeah, can we document not bunting with a lead? Like, can we put that in writing, please?
State trooper over here.
Can we implement flags into baseball so managers can get flags? They get penalties, like extra runners on base if you commit a penalty. Fuck out of here. Like, it's so I guess my thought is that I don't like unwritten rules, period. But like the early season thing is that this was blown so far out of proportion just because it's early in the season and people are trying to like establish themselves and make some point that they're going to be like this. They're going to be the big swinging dicks in the National League. And like, you know, it's like baseball's all about that. I understand that, but it's like, it's such a non-story that became a big story for no reason, just because they feel like they need to like, be bigger than the other team or bigger than the other. It's a fucking baseball thing that I hate so much.
But
this story was so dumb. And then the fact that it turned into like a racial thing between the two coaches, like that was so dumb. Like these stories with these unwritten rules and stuff like are so dumb. And they make baseball look so stupid every time they come up. Yes.
Time out. Ski. Take another sip of your water. Alex, watch him take a sip of his water.
Uh-huh.
It looks like it's a blurred out penis because of the do it again.
It does, actually.
It really does.
By the way, I saw a new game on a show.
Like my like matte blue thing.
It's the way the light's hitting it.
With the blur,
it looks like it's censored out. Yeah.
It's pretty
sorry.
Good.
Sorry for the side
joke. No, it's good. Levity. I appreciate it. By the way, there's a show I watched. They're playing a game called Sip No Sip, where they have one of those containers and they put it up to their lips and they're like, and the other people have to determine if they actually took a sip or didn't take a sip. It's pretty good.
What are you? Is this a Japanese game show?
Sip No Sip. Like it. Give it a shot. Play it with your friends at work if you're still going into an office.
You bring up this whole thing. This is just blown out because of the day and age that we're in with how media and how social media and everything is. You should, if we had what we have now back, you know, in the 70s and even later, I mean, there are stories of guys hitting players 5 years later because of some unwritten rule they did.
14 you know, years later is a story I saw. 14 years. Like Bob Gibson did that or something like that. It was insane.
Like, you know, those pitchers hold grudges for.
Did you know?
Those old guys.
Did you know that Nolan Ryan used to throw at everybody who bunted on him? Every single guy who bunted against him got thrown at the next time they were up.
That's less unwritten rule and more of Nolan Ryan.
Because they made him field his position. Yeah. He took it personal and threw a baseball, threw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at their fucking skull. God, baseball's so dumb. Ugh. And I say that as a guy who has loved baseball. Like I watched baseball earlier today. I like baseball, but fuck, that stuff is dumb.
See, that stuff is made its way down to even like my kids' league. Where every kid, pretty much for the most part, has that extended guard on their helmet.
Your buzz
some
backs.
Of them, not as many, but some of them have, you know, little tiny elbow guards or a shin guard. You know, these kids aren't messing around. They want to crowd the plate and not get hurt.
Crowd the plate. I love it.
Some of these young pitchers need to get that fucking Nolan Ryan into them and start busting some people's chops inside.
By all means, start throwing at kids' heads.
Let's teach
that in Babe Ruth.
You gotta send some warning balls every now and then.
Send a message. Send a message to the 12-year-old. Yep.
Gotta get those messages early.
You gotta learn your lesson, right? This is how you learn. Like, concussion's not going to kill you. Like, you'll get CTE, but, you know, whatever. You'll be fine.
On a non, like, player safety note, we have now, because I have, you know, I have a kid that's in middle school.
Yeah.
We have now entered the era of baseball where stirrups, their stirrups are kind of long gone, right?
Yeah.
Colored socks, not even a thing.
Yep.
They just get pants.
They get the manny pants.
Yeah, literally that are so long that they have Velcro, like 17 Velcro straps on the inside. So you can see how baggy you want them hanging over your cleats.
That's great. So they have an option for stirrups? Like,
no,
is that a
no? So
they only get those pants. All right.
Yeah. Like, we went into the first game this week and the wife was like, "Where is his socks?" And I was like, "Honey, I don't think they do socks anymore.
Gotta go to Target and buy some."
Team colored socks are not a thing because everyone wears their pants.
Yeah.
Like Manny Ramirez and Barry Bonds.
So I've rocked the two. For a couple of years in high school, especially, I rocked them high up, like up to my knee with the stirrups.
Yeah. Or just the knee socks. I think I just had the knee socks.
And then I did convert to the Manny style where you tuck the cuff of your pants underneath your cleat. So it's literally covering your entire foot, and it's just matte, like big baggy. Pants.
So good.
It's a great look.
It's such a great look. It really is.
It adds at least 15 to 20 feet extra of carry when you make contact.
Clearly. You're way more through the zone with those pants on.
The high socks add a couple extra steps in speed, but the low Manny pants that likes are a little bit of pop.
Gotta love it. By the way, do you want to address the face paint?
Oh, the crucifix.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my kid's face.
Yeah.
He went Jackson Dart on both eyes on opening day on Saturday.
Hey. Opening day is a special day.
I asked him to name one apostle and he couldn't.
Flossing. He's flossing with the apostles.
Yeah. He's got the pit vipers on top of his hat when it's cloudy. The crucifix, the eye grease crucifix.
Hey, read me your favorite verse.
They went out there on the first AB with a Kate Yao breast cancer pink shooting sleeve. It was a little too big, so he took it off after the first at bat.
Swagger.
Was this a thick eye black into a cross, or was it a little thinner?
It wasn't like artful. It was full fingered on both.
Who was that? Was that Randall that rocked the huge
John Randall
eye black? John Randall. Yeah. Didn't he rock the huge eye black kind of down like that? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like all the way down his cheek.
Yeah.
Then he gets smudged.
I will say it's just been 1 week of middle school baseball. I'm loving the swag the kids have.
So it's good.
Nice baseball.
So good. There's a couple kids on each team that I saw that had a little bit of swag.
And you could thank kids, players like Fernando Tatis Jr.
That is
break these unwritten rules and have the swagger that the old fuddy-duddies of baseball lore hate.
No, like last
year.
Need.
That's what we need.
I was watching a game. I think it was seventh graders. It may have been eighth graders. It was probably eighth graders, actually. I was watching a game before my kid's game. And this kid hit what he thought was a ball. It ended up being a double. Hit it, and he was a lefty, and he hit it, and he looked towards the dugout and did, like, the Fernando Tatis thing where he, like, pulled under the eye. And I was like, nice. I don't even care that it's just a double. That's great.
Yep.
It's great.
Have fun.
Tell me if the kids are doing this, because this I actually do hate this. Let's say there's a fly ball to center and the kid catches it. Do they have a little like dance or something that they do with a teammate after every out? I've seen it.
It's a softball thing.
I think it went into the young baseball kids as well.
No, they more have, if someone scores a run, when they get in the dugout, they come out and they do a couple of them have the handshakes, but They don't do the outfield dance yet. I bet you
Because I don't really like, you know, a guy in the big leagues, a guy hits a double and they get on second and they do whatever their stupid team hand gesture is when they slide into or get into second.
Or they do the jump into each other celebration or whatever.
You don't like that? You didn't even like it when like Mookie and them would.
No, for the end of the game, that's fine. But in game for doing your job.
What do you think they should do? You think they should throw at their skull next time they're up for, for celebrating a nice catch?
They should get fucking ear hold for that things. I'm gonna put in some Gossage over here. I'm putting in some new unwritten rules. You ear hold a fucker that celebrates catching a lazy fly ball,
especially if they're in middle school.
No, definitely. You gotta learn that shit early.
We need.
Tell him he might get. So, he might get ear hole.
Hey, we need more Tatis and Kapler, less Ski.
Hey, bud. Anybody on your team? You guys working on like if the center fielder catches a fly ball? You guys working on little dances for the out, or is that too much?
No.
Nothing.
Uh-oh. Gotta talk into the mic.
No.
You should.
Is it too much?
I mean, we should start trying that, huh?
You should.
You want to catch if you want to catch an ear hole, you will.
you got to practice. You got to practice pimping home runs, and then celebrating plays when you make them in the field, man. It's supposed to be fun.
All right.
Yeah. Listen to me, not Ski. Ski's old. Listen and to me. Angry. Yeah.
Listen to me.
I will.
Darn right. Who's your favorite player? Is it Tatis?
Right now, probably Shohei. Probably.
Oh yeah,
Shohei.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with Shohei.
Yeah.
He might be mine too.
Either Shohei or Tatis.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't go wrong with either. Tatis got hurt though. That didn't help.
King, how are you allowing him to not say Salvador Perez here? I mean, I thought this is a Royals household we got.
We're a Bobby Witt Jr. household right now.
Yeah, get a Bobby Witt Jr. going.
Yeah.
No, look at the jersey or the jersey he's wearing. I mean,
the Tatis. Attaboy.
He's got that mustard ass Tatis Jr. That's
my favorite player all time is Big Poppy. There you go.
There you go.
Poppy. Can't go wrong with Poppy.
That's valid.
I mean, I would go with Manny, but Poppy's fine. If you're asking me, nobody asked me, but if Poppy you're asking
got,
me.
Poppy got shot by a drug lord over a mistress situation, so.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Again, the decision is fine. It's not the one I'd make, but it's fine. That was great. Okay, let's do our list. our list has to do with the fracas. Is that a word?
Between I think it was more of a brouhaha.
Yeah, yeah.
Might have been a Donnybrook.
Was it a Donnybrook?
No, Donnybrook.
Did it not
means
elevate
like
to a Donnybrook.
Donnybrook means you're throwing. I'm pretty.
Oh,
sure.
That's true. Actually, that's a good throwing. Point. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Between the Padres and the Giants. And it has to do with the unwritten rules. So what was it, King? It was our top three, like hated unwritten rules, like top three rules, unwritten rules we hate.
Correct. Least favorite unwritten least favorite. Rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Boing. Oh, by the way, I found this on my phone that I'm going to try to incorporate into our show somehow. But can you hear that?
A little bit.
Somewhat.
I knew what it was.
So I got that now. We got that going for us. Yeah, pretty much. all right, I'll start. Because I hate these. My number three. I'll go swinging on a 3-0. I hate that. Well. Because what are you going to get when the count is 3-0? You're going to get a fucking fastball right down the middle.
Well,
And you know what you should do when you get a fastball right down the middle that you're expecting? Swing at it. Especially if you're a good hitter like Tatis, who got fucking crap for it. Like,
so it's swinging at a 3-0 when you're up big.
Get hits!
Is what?
Get hits.
So I'll add on to this, because that is my number three as well. And it even goes into if the other team brings in a position player to pitch because it is a blowout, you should be expected to swing. You should be forced to swing at every pitch you see.
This is where I pad my stats. I don't care about you. I don't care about you being happy. I'm playing against you. I want to get as many runs as I possibly can. My contract is based on me hitting home runs. I'm going to hit a home run. You know,
you like, walking me is not going to help me.
If you're making the horrible decision to go, to be down 3-0 in the count or put in a position player to pitch against me, I'm going to rock as many bombs as I possibly can.
Hey, I think it's more disrespectful to bring in a position player to pitch to major league hitters than it is to hit a 3-0 bomb up 10.
I hear you 100%.
If you're giving up on the game, I'm going to pad my stats. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm not giving up. Again, I'm trying to make money, dude.
I did see there was a game, or I think it was early this week, a team brought in a position player to pitch. It was like a 7-run game. It wasn't even that big of a blow, and they brought in a position player. I don't know if this is just spring training wasn't long, so they're running out of arms, and they're like, oh, 7 runs, that's
already
might be a little much. We're not gonna waste these other arms in the pen, but
you know what? Like Kapler mentioned it too. Like that's the Giants' whole strategy with this is like tiebreakers are no longer like a so tiebreakers are run differential now, and so you are encouraged to score as many runs as you possibly can. And his whole thing was like, well, we're not like we're trying to win this series. We're trying to score as many runs as we can, and if we can work as many arms as we can, I want to do it because I want to win tomorrow. And I want to win the day after that because they don't have as many arms to throw at us. So they have to put in position players to pitch against us and we can score more runs. Like soft again, like don't go down 3-0 in a count and then throw a fastball down the middle. You can give up the walk if you want to, like that's up to you.
But that's the whole MLB's angle now is they're banking on these guys hitting bombs. That's all they have going for. People aren't hitting, people are hitting 200 and striking out 300 times a season now because they're banking on the ratings of seeing people hit bombs. So how are you going to try to police someone on doing what the MLB wants you to do?
Exactly what they've wanted to do for the last like 40 years, dude.
That's why they let people juice the shit out of themselves for a long time.
And they put stuff in the baseballs to make them fly farther.
Yes. And humidors.
They let people make stadiums in places like Denver.
My number three least favorite unwritten rule goes into last night's Padres and Giants game. Do not steal a base when you're up big.
That's not going to be a theme, right?
Apparently stealing a base in the third inning is a big no-no because you only have like 21 more outs to play with. They were mad. It was the third inning.
That's an outlier.
Second inning?
Yeah. It might have even been the second.
It was 9-2. It was either the second or third inning. Just trash.
It's baseball. Anything goes at least through 5 innings. Anything goes. You need to get as many runs as possible through 5 innings.
No. And then you can potentially. No. Many runs as possible, period. Through 9 innings. Because that's how many innings you play in a baseball game. And you're supposed to beat the other team. And now you're supposed to score as many runs as you possibly can so you get into the playoffs.
I will say at a certain point.
Sometimes a game just needs to fucking end.
I hear you. Baseball goes on forever. I hear you. But that's not the problem.
I've had coaches that we had a signal. If we were up enough, it wasn't used that often, but there was a signal to essentially get yourself out.
Roll one over. Just roll it over.
Yeah. Just see a pitch, swing at it. You get a hit and or an error. That's not your fault. Let's get this game fucking going.
Yep. I hear you. And if that's a decision you want to make, that's your decision to make. But if you want to keep hitting, keep hitting.
Hey, go for it.
My number two, bunting up big or on a no hitter. The no hitter is a big one. So
that's my number one, by the way, is that
you have not been able to get a hit off this person for an entire game. You should probably start trying to do everything you can to get a hit off this person in this game, or else you're going to lose. And so bunting, if you have a guy who can bunt, is a pretty good fucking way to do it. So bunt, get on base.
Unless you're down 8-0 in the ninth.
Yes. All right. So I was going to put a caveat on it. If it's a close game, fuck that. I'm trying to get on base to win this game still. If it's a blowout, yeah, I don't need to break up a no-no by laying a drag down in the eighth.
That might be the only situation where I'm like, if they got a hit with the bunt, it's like the ninth inning, it's a no-hitter, they're down 10, and he gets on. I might be okay with the next guy getting a hit.
but it better be
something like not towards the head, never towards the head. Like,
never. No.
You should be fucking suspended for half the season if you're throwing at guys' heads. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know.
So I feel like recently there was a two-run game where someone bunted in the ninth and they were pissed. It's like
Schilling, notorious red ass.
It's like if I get on base, you know, a two-run game, I'm the guy up's the tying run now all of a sudden. So yeah, fuck that. I'm trying to win a game over your pride as keeping a no-no or not.
Trying to win a ball game, see ball, hit ball. Let's go.
Then why do I care about your feelings?
What do I?
I'm trying to win.
Kurt Schilling's feelings.
Honestly,
hey Kurt, facts don't care about feelings.
That's quality. All right, who's up?
All right, I'll go. My number two is pimping home runs because I'm for batters pimping home runs, and I'm for pitchers, you know, fist pumping when they strike your ass out. It goes both ways for me, and I think both are fine. But the unwritten rule that you can't – if I was in the bigs and I hit a 500-foot bomb, I'm fucking walking that thing down, staring the whole way. Yeah. The whole way.
That's my number one, by the way. I could not agree more. Bat flip, you get hit. Like, pimping anything, you get hit. Like, nothing better than a good bat flip. Like, remember, like, Mark Canna was an A's player last year. I think he was one of the guys who got traded to the Mets or something. I don't know. Most of the team last year is not on the A's anymore. But, like, his whole thing was bat flipping season. And so every time he'd hit a home run, he'd flip the fucking bat. And it was great. Like, Bautista, when he threw the bat after hitting that home run, that was one of the best moments in sports history.
I'm gonna throw a caveat in there. What Bautista did was worth getting drilled and punched by Odor. You can't stare the pitcher down. You could stare your home run down. You cannot stare the pitcher down. Not the pitcher.
Oh, this guy likes an unwritten rule or two.
Not the pitcher. I hear you.
Because that's saying that let's fight, essentially. I'm slamming my bat into the ground and staring you down. I'm not even watching my bomb I hit.
He wasn't even staring down the pitcher. He was staring down the entire United States of America.
He was.
From Rogers Center in Toronto, Ontario.
Canada wins,
eh? On the flag.
He was spitting at the Texas flag.
And as we know, you don't mess with Texas.
Yeah.
That's what happened. You get punched in the fucking face.
Unless you're Bin Laden, and then you look at George Bush and go, hey, see those two towers? Stop me, Longhorn.
Wow.
Welcome.
Wow.
Hey, Bin Laden lost in the end, so.
That was big time. What's your one?
My number one is...
Wait, did you do one or did you
no,
do...
I, no, my number two. My number two.
My bad, my bad.
My number two is the dumbest one. It's do not rub the spot where you've been hit by a pitch.
It hurts. Getting hit by a pitch hurts.
Rub it out, man.
It doesn't feel good.
Guys in the dugout or guys go into the locker room when they're when they've been 0 for 8 and rub one out. If you get hit in the ribs, rub it out.
Ouch. Baseballs are hard. Do you guys see Sean Murphy get hit in the ass the other day? Did you see that clip? That was pretty funny.
Big old dumpy.
Big old dumper. Again, you got to rub it out. You got to rub it out. You get hit on the ass. Ouch. That was a lot of meat there. Especially if you got Murphy's dumper. You got to rub that one out.
He fucking backed it up into that thing, too. That ball was going to miss him. He, like, threw his...
He twerked into it.
He twerked into it almost, just like... Ting.
Like, the trajectory of the ball, like, it changed drastically once his ass hit it. Like, the ass had more effect on the ball than the ball did on his ass. Okay, so I did my one already. Did you do your one, Ski?
I did as well, but I'll throw an honorable mention one in here. This isn't a... This is more of a superstition rule that's unwritten, and that is stepping on the line.
Oh, I don't like stepping on the line.
I'm fine with stepping on the line.
Oh, you got to hop over it.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of superstitions I'll follow if I'm struggling or if I'm hot. Never cared about that.
It's a dumb one. But that's like for me personally, that's like a childhood thing with like, an OCD childhood thing.
Stepping on cracks.
Stepping on cracks, not stepping on lines. Like, it's totally OCD for me personally.
Same, 100%.
But like, if I did it in a game, I wouldn't be like, oh no, I cursed everybody.
But it's you like, wouldn't do one in the game.
I wouldn't. would not, because I'm OCD, not because I'm superstitious.
Hey, I'll spit on the line. Is that shit?
Yeah. You'll spit on what?
I'll spit on the line.
Wow.
I don't give a fuck.
Ski has no respect.
I thought he said he'd snort the line.
I'll snort it too. If I don't give a shit.
Some baseball schneef.
A little schneef.
All right, what's your one?
My number one is do not swing on the first pitch after a pitcher has given up back-to-back home runs.
That's the perfect time to swing on the first pitch.
Yes. Yeah,
I agree.
If they're dumb enough to leave him in the game, I'm swinging at everything.
Because if they've given up back-to-back home runs, they're just trying to groove one in, get the mechanics back, take a deep breath. Okay. Yeah.
Again, it should be a written rule that you have to swing at the first pitch.
To take a half.
Just like if a guy walks the guy in front of you on four pitches, it should be an automatic first pitch take until he throws a strike there. If a guy gives up two bombs in a row, automatic, I don't care where that pitch is, you have to swing.
Again, it's a situation where you know what's coming. You know he needs to throw a strike. So it's going to be a fastball, and it's going to be in the zone. Swing at it. That's when you're supposed to swing.
I think the four-pitch walk, take one until you get a strike, that's only until September. October comes, you can take a half.
Swing away.
Because there's a lot of wasted first strikes in that situation. And when the pennant's on the line, you can't give away a strike.
I guess that would be my OCD thing. It's not OCD. That's my pet peeve, is that. Hitting leadoff my whole life, it was always – I don't think I ever swung at first pitch after that.